We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. Feel like I haven't seen you guys in a while, but I am glad to be back, ready to talk some Notre Dame football. Today, I'm going to do a show talking about what I saw at practice today. We only got to see about four periods before they started to kick us out, so it's a little bit limited on what we were able to see. I did focus mostly on the offense today. And then afterwards, I'm going to talk about how the depth this spring is certainly being tested for this football team. And as we get closer and closer to the Blue Gold game, I'm going to talk about some playmakers that I'm seeing emerge for Notre Dame. Not so much projecting into the fall who the playmakers will be, but some guys that have shown themselves to be playmakers through the spring. And this is partly on what we've seen, but also partly on some things that I've heard and some things that I've been told. So it's a very exciting time, obviously, to be following Notre Dame football right now. And then at the end, we'll talk about that part at the end about the playmakers. But it's offense and defense, and so we're going to have a lot to talk about on that. Going to have an intel piece coming up here on the board soon, kind of just some things that I've heard through the spring. Going to have a little bit maybe tonight, and then a bigger one post-spring. So you'll definitely want to check that out for sure. Lots of fun stuff going on. And, of course, a lot more breakdowns. The Mike Denbrock offense coming up. Going to talk some of his play action stuff, some RPO stuff, and get into some of his other top pass concepts. We'll dive into some more breakdown individual runs, you know, so an inside zone video and an outside zone video as we get into the summer. So lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff going on here at Irish Breakdown, which means it's a great time to sign up for the message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com. And, to get all of that good stuff. So tons of recruiting updates lately. So it is certainly a great time to be alive and a great time to be part of the IB community, IB team. So definitely check that out, boards.irishbreakdown.com. Hit that like button before we get started. I'm going to knock that sucker out of the park now, get that done now, and we'll be ready to rock and roll.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I'm going to begin today's show talking about a little bit about practice and what we got a chance to see. As I said, Notre Dame held another practice today inside the Labar practice facilities. So it was really nice. It was a beautiful day in South Bend. I think it was 65, 70 degrees this morning. It's like, I think it might've been around 65 around practice time. By 10 o'clock, I'm taking Angela, the doctor, at 10 a.m. and it was already up to 70, just an absolutely gorgeous day. And so I was glad to see them outside, which was really cool. So we got a chance to be outside and enjoy the nice, beautiful, beautiful weather at South Bend. And Notre Dame went through their typical, you know, typical start of practice. There was a little bit, there were some things that we got a chance to see a little bit of today, which was nice. And I'll talk about that. But they started to kick us out at the beginning of prep period five. So period five. So we really only got to see four periods. And because there's so little time there, I decided to focus on one side of the ball. And also the defense tends to do a lot of drill work, which is great. I mean, it's good from a coaching standpoint. It's really good. But from a practice report and practice observation standpoint, it doesn't do a ton. Because, hey, guess what? You know, the DBs and linebackers that are on scholarship at Notre Dame look athletic. That's the epitome of it. And there's some nerdy stuff that we could get into that you'd like. You really like the things being taught at linebacker about, you know, foot placement and how they're being taught to communicate, all that kind of stuff. But that's not really the stuff that is between that and what they do on offense. There's just more to gather by what they're doing on offense for us. So, again, not a criticism of the defense at all. If I'm a football coach and I'm just there for coaching purposes, I love what they're doing on defense. But for the purposes of a practice report, the offense was a little bit better with what they were doing today. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Still, you know, what we saw, there's no one-on-ones today. There was no team on team, so there's not a lot of that. We are supposed to get access to the practice on Saturday, which is going to be a full practice. So hopefully they'll let us see some stuff then. That'll be nice to see some team stuff. But just some things that we gathered, that I was able to gather today in the four periods that we were out there. Start with quarterback, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the receivers and the offensive line. I'll go through some of the team takeoff stuff that we saw them do today, because there's some interesting stuff in there as well. And finish with a little talk about the offensive line. So to begin, I'm going to talk about the period where we saw the Notre Dame offense go out there today and go through sort of a team takeoff, which they used to do in the past, if you guys remember. They did this a lot in the past. They haven't done it as much the last couple of years, but they basically just line up three sets of offensive team. It's first team, second team, third team, and they kind of go. And in the past, they'd kind of start at midfield or, you know, a little bit further back and go. Today, they started at like the 20-yard line, it looked like. They're way backed up, got a lot more plays in. It's just about precision and kind of getting into the flow and just getting the ball out. And so we saw that. So the first team group, obviously Riley Leonard was out of practice today, did some throwing work, but he's not doing any teamwork right now. So he wasn't part of this period. It was kind of cool. He was in the back of the line, and he was going through his footwork, just kind of simulating a snap and doing those type of things and going through that as the quarterbacks are going through it. So the first group came out. It was Steve Angeli at quarterback, Jadarian Price at running back. The receivers were Micah Gilbert in the boundary. It was Chris Mitchell as the field outside guy, Jaden Greathouse as the slot, and Cooper Flanagan at tight end. So they were an 11 personnel. The offensive line left to right was Charles Jagasaw, Pat Coogan, Ashton Craig, Billy Shrouth, and Tosh Baker. That was with the first team. And they were sharp. I mean, they were pretty crisp. Started off with some screen stuff, did a couple inside runs, got the ball thrown down the field a little bit. And, you know, I didn't see a ball hit the ground. Maybe one did, because it was kind of at times you're watching three groups run a rep at once, which can be hard, but I didn't see a ball hit the ground. That's a thing you want as a coach. You want to make sure that you're crisp and there's no defense, right? Your ball shouldn't hit the ground. You know, they were crisp. They're coming off fast. There was a good tempo, good pacing. I liked what I saw from them in that period, just from what you're trying to accomplish. Like, hey, let's get that blood flowing a little bit. You know, we've gone through some individual stuff. Let's get that blood flowing. Let's get everybody on the same page. Let's get some communication. Let's come off the line quick and let's get the ball out where it's supposed to go. And so we saw a pretty sharp group today. The second group was Kenny Minchie at quarterback, Jeremiah Love at running back. At receiver, you had Deion Colsey in the boundary. You had Cam Williams to the field and K.K. Smith in the slot. And then the third group, you had – or the offensive line left to right, you had Eli Raridan at tight end. And offensive line left to right was Sullivan Absher, left tackle, and then Rocco Spindler, left guard. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You had Sam Pendleton at center. You had Christopher Tarek at right guard, and then you had Emil Wagner at right tackle. The third group was C.J. Carr, quarterback, Aeneas Williams at running back. The receivers were Alex Whitman was the outside receiver, and I saw Jack Poyon in the slot. I could not see who the other outside receiver was. It was a walk-on, I believe, but I couldn't see who it was. So I don't know who that was. And then the tight ends, they rotated between a couple guys. I think Charlie Seldon got some reps. I think Henry Garrity got some reps. They rotated through a few guys there at the third tight end position. And I mentioned Aeneas Williams was the running back with C.J. Carr. Offensive line left to right was Stiles Prescott at left tackle. Then you had Ty Chan at left guard. You had Joe Odding at center. You had – actually, you know what? I wrote that – I said that incorrectly. The left guard on the third group was Peter Jones. Joe Odding was a center, and then Ty Chan was at right guard. And then Anthony Knapp was a right tackle. So it is fitting when we talk about some of these positions where you're going to see some positions where the third team is fully walk-ons, and with others, the third team is guys you're like, that guy's a pretty good player. And we'll talk a little bit about that during segment two, where I talk about how this team's depth is being tested. And so, yeah, that was kind of gave us a sense of where guys are lining up now. It's not an end-all, be-all. If just because this one guy's the first team doesn't mean he's a starter now, or whatever the case may be. You don't necessarily rotate a lot during this period, at least at receiver, running back. You're just going to kind of go through the period, and guys are going to get to work. And, you know, everything was kind of what we expected, with the exception of the boundary with Micah Gilbert. And as we kind of get into the practice, I'll talk a little bit more about what I saw from Micah Gilbert today and what we've continued to see and hear about Micah Gilbert. I want to begin with quarterback briefly. You know, we got out there, the quarterbacks are doing their typical warm-up drills. You know, they're throwing straight on, throwing diagonal to the left, throwing diagonal to the right, working on their drops, kind of getting to the rhythm, loosening their arms up. They, you know, looked good. I thought today CJ and Steve Angeli were a little bit high with some of their throws. It's part of the warm-up process. You know, it's going to happen from time to time. But overall, the velocity was good. The ball placement was good. When guys were missing, they were missing like here, missing here. It wasn't nothing crazy. Got two routes on air, and I thought the quarterbacks were really sharp today. There was a couple times, and this is something that I thought was very encouraging from what I could see. There was a couple times where I actually thought the quarterbacks had thrown long, so they were working on different routes. I don't want to get into specifics because I don't know how they'll feel about that. But they were working on, there's always some kind of, you know, quick outside route. There's always some kind of deeper route, either corner, post. There's some kind of over the middle route. And then they'll have something kind of, sort of a check down type of route. And there was a corner route was one of the routes being given. And I don't want to get too much into specifics and be giving the plays away, because they were actually running plays. You know, Mike Denbrock was calling them. They were, hey, this is the formation. They were in what I call trio, three receivers on one side, tight end to another. You had four quarterbacks going, and then they were running, you know, they were doing the route combinations. And so, twice on a corner route, once by Steve Angeli, and I think once the other one was by CJ Carr, I actually thought the ball was long. I was like, oh, that's too far. And the receivers were able to run underneath it. That means two things. That isn't like bad ball, but glad you have fast receivers. It wasn't that. So I don't want it to come across as that. It was more so like, you know, look, these quarterbacks are really getting on a good page with these receivers, because the ball's coming out. Like, I'm thinking it's a little bit long, and the receivers are running underneath it like in stride. It tells me that they're getting on the same page. These quarterbacks know where to get the ball to. The receivers know exactly where they need to get to get the ball. Because if I throw the ball out and I think it's going to be long, if that receiver has to kind of go off course at all, he's not going to get to that football. But today, they were going through and just dropping them on dimes. Now, there's a couple times that I thought the ball came out late. I think there was a ball from Angeli that I think it was from Angeli that Deion Colsey caught on the sideline, but then caught it, step, and then he's out of bounds. I'd rather see them, you know, catch the ball in bounds with a chance to get upfield. But when they missed, it was missing that way. It was just like the ball didn't come out quite on time. And it didn't get where it needed to get to. But I thought they were sharp overall. The balls over the middle were coming out high, you know, getting over the line if there was one. Sometimes you can get into bad habits when you're doing RVA, especially when there's no offensive line, where on some of the shorter throws, you just kind of get down and, you know, snap it off and it's low. That ball's not going to work if you've got 6'5", 6'6", guys in front of you and defensive linemen putting their hands up. So it's good to see them not getting into those bad habits, and the offensive, the quarterbacks really coming, you know, just with their nice over-the-top deliveries, getting that ball over the top, get to the receivers and getting it all accurately out there. So that was a positive to see. But just the big takeaway wasn't, hey, guess what? Notre Dame scholarship athletes look good, right? I mean, that wasn't so much the takeaway just in generally, but you can't ignore the speed that you see from this group, even with some guys out. Jaden Harrison wasn't practicing today. Jaden Thomas continues to be very limited in what he does. He went through stretch, a little bit of drill work, and that's about it. We didn't see him in any of the team periods and see him in the RVA. So I would assume that he's nursing something. I don't know what it is, but I would assume he's worth nursing something. And so, you know, getting a little bit low on numbers, but just what, you know, we saw Chris Mitchell today really turn loose. But the big thing is the quarterbacks and the receivers are really starting to be sharp and really starting to be on the same page. And this has now been a couple practices in a row that we've seen that. And honestly, it's been kind of good all spring, which to me said a lot more about the quarterbacks than necessarily the receivers, because the quarterbacks are all really talented and have ability. But now you're starting to see there's this really good feel both ways. The receivers know where to get to. The quarterbacks know where the receivers are going to be, and they're getting the ball where they need to get the ball to. A couple observations. I thought Steve was pretty sharp today. He had a solid day throwing the football. Riley had a good day throwing the football. Kenny was probably the least consistent of all the quarterbacks, but when I say consistent, it's more so he was completing passes. They were completing passes. Again, I didn't see a lot of balls hit the ground today. And off the top of my head, I can only think of one that I saw hit the ground today, which there's a lot of balls being thrown during that period of time. So when I talk about least consistent, it's like of four quarterbacks that were pretty good, he was probably least consistent. And it was more so just from a ball placement. His ball placement wasn't quite as sharp today from what I saw as it is normally, but still had a solid day. The guy that has really stood out to me last couple practices, but this one especially, was CJ Carr. And what you see from CJ is he's starting to carry himself a little bit different. And what I mean by that is, you know, CJ has always been a kid that's confident and he believes in himself. He's not cocky and arrogant. He's confident. He knows he can throw the football pretty good. But in December and even in the early spring practices, he was still a freshman trying to learn. And what you're seeing the last couple days is, and this is something that every coach looks for. You look for it from your quarterback. You look for them from your receivers, your running backs, whatever position I've coached. You look for that when kids first get to camp and when younger players are being thrust into situations maybe they hadn't in the past, is when does a kid start to carry himself differently? And what I mean by that is this. And I use this analogy a lot, but when you're walking around somewhere, if you're walking around, you know, you get up out of your own bed at night and you're going to go down to the kitchen, even if the lights are off, you know what you're doing, right? But go to a friend's house that you've never been in before and you're crashing there and you get up in the middle of the night, you're feeling around, you're unsure of yourself, you're trying to find the light switch or is this the step? There's some uncertainty there, right? And I've used a car, you know, cars as an example, but I thought when talking about CJ Carr, it might be too lame to use that as an example, but you can just see a guy that's feeling his way. And when a guy just like, okay, here's what we're doing. I know what we're doing. I'm out here. I'm sharp. I'm confident. I'm getting it out. I know exactly where to be. I know what drill's coming next. I know what the coach wants from me. I know what my receivers are doing. I know all this stuff. And you're no longer in that sort of, okay, wait a minute, what comes after period one? What comes after warm up? What comes after stretch? What comes after this? You know, wait a minute, what am I doing with this route again? How do you say that verb? Because there's one play, and I won't say what it was, but it was funny. Mike Denbrock's given the play, and I'm just like, okay, he's going to end it there. No, he's going to end it there. So, like, there's some verbiage to this thing, right? It's not just, you know, twins right, smash. You know, it's not that. It's got some verbiage to it. And you can just hear, you know, you can just see it processing, and you can see a kid who's not sure what he's doing. He's a receiver, for example, get that call and he'll look around and kind of like, you know, like look at the quarterback, like, you know, hey, do I got this? You know, and then the guys that got it locked down, they get the call and then boom, they're off to their spot. They're lined up. They're looking at the defense and they're not even thinking about the play. It just, I heard the word, I processed it and boom, I'm ready to go. Young players, that you can see the wheels churning with younger players, right? And quarterbacks are the same way. Like CJ Carr is confident when it's like, hey, CJ, throw a post. All right, cool. I'm going to drop back, sling it, throw a post. Same with Kenny Minchie. But when it's like, CJ, I'm going to give you this long call and you've got to know it. You've got to get everybody lined up. You got to make sure what everybody's doing. Then there's some more of like, wait a minute, hold on. Is his splits proper? Is he where he's supposed to be? Well, is that guy inside or outside? Like there's just a lot of thought process. Well, what you're starting to see from CJ is less of that churning. And more of just I got the call and go, because it's clicking now. And it's like anything, you know, you think of in your work, like you think of your first day at work when your boss is teaching you, okay, this is what we're figuring out and this is what we're doing. And you're like, okay, hold on a second. Then you got to think of the processes. And then you get to the point, like you've been doing this for a couple months and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you just get there. It's almost like it's routine. And so what we're seeing with CJ, and, you know, Kenny's starting to get it as well. And what we're seeing with CJ is, It's going in and it's just like, okay, boom, it's there. I got it. I know where I'm going. And this was the first time I have seen. Now I'm not saying CJ hasn't done this in past practices. We just haven't seen a whole lot. And so we saw the first full practice we saw was practice one. And we've seen, you know, what, four or five like little five period deals where there's going through individuals. We haven't seen a ton. So this may have been happening before, but this is the first time that I saw it where CJ was out there. And it just was, he didn't look like what you see from a freshman or a newer guy early on, where it's a thought and then you can see the thought, you can almost like see it churning in their head and then they go. CJ today was just like, all right, coach, okay, boom, 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 all right, let's go. And that was good to see. you know, from the younger guy, from the freshman, to see that. And so it was noticeable today. And the more comfortable CJ gets with that stuff, the more accurate he was, the quicker the ball was coming out, you know, and he's just putting the ball, I mean, just, you know, just painting a picture today with how he was throwing the football. So that was good to see. But the mental comes first. The mental has to come first, because in what they're doing today, here's an example. And you'll see this, and we saw it, I think, once today. So they're still not out of the woods yet, but they'll do a drill. It's not even a drill, but they'll line up, and you'll have four quarterbacks lined up under, like, in the shotgun formation. Thank you. And then you have four different receivers running a route. And so let's just say today they have a quick out cut. This isn't what we saw today, but I'm just say an example. Quick out cut by one guy, and then a corner route by another guy, and then an over route by another guy, and then a deep post by another guy. Backside out, whatever. That's not what we saw today. I'm using just a random concept that everybody in the world does. I just basically described smash with a backside high-low. That's what I just described. And so one quarterback will throw the smash route. The other quarterback will throw the corner. One guy will throw the over. The other guy will throw the backside out cut or the backside post, whatever the case may be. And every single time you see this early in fall camp or spring practice or something like that, they'll drop back and some quarterback won't throw it. Like, he won't throw it. He's like, hold on a second. Which way? Who am I getting again? Or you'll see him throw it late because he'll wait for all the other balls to go. And they're like, okay, nobody threw to the corner, so I got the corner. Or if it's, you know, he knows, well, this guy's got the corner. One of us has the corner. One of us has the flag, you know, or the smash. But which one is mine? So he'll wait, let that other guy, okay, that guy threw the smash, so now I know I got to throw the corner. And so you're going to see things like that. And it's some uncertainty. Or the my favorite is when you see two guys throw the ball to the same guy. You guys remember last year in fall camp when Jadarian Price had that play where he caught one ball and then another quarterback threw it to him and he went up and caught it with his second hand? That wasn't on purpose. That was one quarterback threw it to him and was supposed to. The other quarterback threw it to him and wasn't supposed to, but Jadarian saw it and reached up and grabbed it. So what I liked about what we saw today and we saw from the last practice is when they get to this period, there's a lot more certainty. I think there was once today that I saw that they were, one of the guys wasn't sure where you're supposed to go with the ball. But when you got out there today, it was drop. They're throwing in rhythm. You know, there's kind of a symphony-ish aspect to it because they're not all throwing the ball at the same time. Because if I'm throwing to the quick route, I know that, okay, I got to settle my feet. Because if I'm throwing that route, it's because the read has sped things up and I got to boom, you know, hit plant drive and get the ball out. If I'm throwing the corner route, it's because my initial read wasn't there. So I got to continue my depth. I got to then get my gather and I got to get the ball out. And then, you know, and then if you're throwing backside, it's I'm looking front side, then I'm coming back to the backside. So those are all aspects of kind of what you're trying to see. And so the ball doesn't come out at the same time all the time, but you can see the rhythm with each guy. And today we saw a lot more of that, and we saw some of it in the last practice we saw as well, which tells me, again, the quarterbacks are starting to get more and more and more comfortable with what they're doing, especially the younger players. And because when those issues happen, it tends to be, you know, Kenny and CJ, and then Riley a little bit those first couple days. Steve's been this now year three. Steve kind of knows where to go with the football. So those are all things that I saw from the quarterback position today that I was very encouraged by, especially, like I said, with CJ. And, you know, just that comfort level with him is very, very important.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk a little bit about the wide receivers that we saw today. And not a ton. You know, some guys weren't out there. I didn't see, you know, I said Jaden Harrison wasn't out there. You saw Jaden Thomas wasn't out there. Jordan Faison's not out there. You don't have, you know, Bo Collins is out there, but he can't practice, right? So he's out there in, you know, shorts and t-shirt, just listening and learning. He can't participate in practice. And so you're a little thin on numbers today. But what that allowed us to do is kind of, you know, get a few more reps of the guys that were out there. And the first thing, it's been this way every practice. I can honestly say I can't think of a practice outside of maybe the first one where I thought Chris Mitchell was really good, that anyone other than Jaden Greathouse has not been the most impressive guy. I mean, it's just – and it's usually – it's not that it's not close. It's just – it's very obvious is the way to put it. I mean, it's – other guys are performing well, but it's just obvious that Jaden is kind of that guy right now at receiver. He's the first guy in every drill, and that was true today, meaning when they do a drill, he's the first guy taking the rep. He is just goes through everything, even something like this. So obviously it's receiver drills. It could be a thing as simple as like the slots, you know, go first or something like that. I mean, slot, then Z, the next. It could be something as simple like that. But even today, like when they were doing this drill with the defense where the quarterback, the defense, the receiver has his back to the defender. It's a one-on-one drill. The receiver has his back to the defender, and he catches the ball, and then he gets hit with a pad. He spins off and squares at the defense. The defense has to do a quick up-down, and then they go in space. Well, what I liked about the drill today is they had a lot more room for the offensive players to work with, and that's a very pro-offensive player, period. But the reason I like it is because, number one, it forces the offensive players to be somewhat assertive. Like, look, you pick a lane and attack it or make your move. But for the defense, it makes them have to work a much bigger ground, meaning they're stressed more. And so even though that, I mean, the offense is usually going to win that period, and they should, and if they don't, you have problems. But I like that because you're putting even more of a burden on the defense, which makes it, they're going to learn better and get better at it. But the thing that you saw today was just how effective this roster is compared to past years of having guys that can make people miss and guys that have a little bit of speed that put the defense in a bind. And we saw that from Jaden today as well. He's showing really good a burst. We've talked about this all spring, showing a really good burst. He's getting off the line effectively. He's very sudden with his movements. Like, I remember seeing that as a punt returner in high school where he can make people miss, but it was, he knew how to set guys up. He's a smart, savvy player. But what we're seeing today and what we've really seen all spring is he's so sharp with his cuts. I mean, it's very sudden, and he's just in and out of his breaks really, really fast, either as a route runner and like a drill like today. And so it's just impressive. And then the other thing is he carries himself with a lot of confidence. And I'll dive more into that when I get into the playmaker section, but he stood out to me today. And today was also the first time we've really got to see Chris Mitchell turn loose since the first practice. And, you know, it's not that he hasn't been doing that in practice. It's just the things that we've seen have not been conducive to him really turning it loose. And so it was nice to see him out there today, getting vertical, showing off his speed, showing off his suddenness. I thought he had a very good day. It was good to see him out there. I thought Deon Colsey continues to look solid. You know, nothing spectacular today. Went through drills well. You know, his quickness is there. He's getting in and out of breaks well, which is good because he's had some knee issues in the past. You know, and the biggest thing with Deon is he catching the ball consistently. And the first practice that we saw him after he had the surgery on his hand, it was not pretty. The ball was hitting the ground a lot, which you kind of expect. The guy just had surgery on his hand. But the last two practices we've been at, Deion's been very sharp catching the football. And today was no different. I'm not saying he didn't drop a pass. I didn't see every rep that he took because I'm trying to watch different parts of it. But in every rep that I saw him take today, he caught the ball well. He showed good sideline awareness, which Deion hasn't done in the past all the time, meaning I'm running my corner route. I got to know where if the ball's coming and where the sideline is. And Deion showed better awareness today to, you know, keep that one foot in, catch the ball, and then, you know, get an extra step before he went out of bounds. So I thought Deion had a solid day. KK Smith, you know, had another solid day. Very smooth athlete, like what I see from KK. And the big thing was that I thought, and I wouldn't read too much into this because they do mix things up a lot, but the guy running with the first team at the boundary receiver was Micah Gilbert. And I've heard a lot of things about Micah Gilbert from different sources. And he's having a really good spring. Like when we talked about Micah when they signed him, I anticipated him having a chance to come in and you know, push a little bit early because he's an advanced, but he's big. He's 6'2", he's strong, he's well over 200 pounds, long arms. He's a smart football player. He knows how to get open. He's, you know, knows how to run routes. He's a smart kid, knows how to find his you know, some room to run. The thing that's been surprising for me is I thought Micah was a good athlete, but he's been an even better athlete than I anticipated. And that's always what you want to see. When you evaluate a guy on film and you like what you see, you want to either have it confirmed when you see him in person or maybe even better than what you thought it would be in person. And so with Micah Gilbert, I graded him as a top 150 caliber guy. He was borderline top 100 guy, wasn't quite there yet. And one of the reasons why was something he can't really control at that time, which was his intangible grade was a little bit lower because he'd been battled some injuries and his production before senior year wasn't great. You know, there's been guys that have had way, way, way more production. You know, so like Rico Flores, his intangible grade is going to be quite a bit higher than Micah Gilbert's because tremendous production, you know, was always healthy, you know, the program he played in, all this other kind of stuff. And that was something that, you know, Micah had a really great senior year, but he hadn't been able to stay healthy the two previous years and had never even had, I don't believe, 500 yards receiving in a season. And then the other one was he had good athleticism grades, but he didn't have great athleticism grades. And so that obviously brought him down a little bit on the chart. But I did give him 4.5-star upside, so I knew that there was some potential there. But I'll be honest, he's much further along than I thought he would be. Like I don't want to sit here and be like, hey, we always said he could play as a freshman. He might be able to play as a freshman. So we saw this coming. We knew he was going to be really good. I liked Micah Gilbert a lot. I thought he was very underrated. We talked about this. I thought he could push early on. But, folks, we're halfway through spring ball, and Micah Gilbert's playing like a starter. I mean, that's how he's performing in practice. And that I did not see coming. Like, I didn't think he'd be that far along this early. And there's two reasons for it. Number one is he's strong, which helps him to kind of make a quick adjustment. But Cam Williams is also strong. The second part, and this is what really separates Micah and Cam, is Micah is a more advanced, nuanced player. He has a better understanding of route running. He has a better understanding of how to get open, where Cam was just a dynamic athlete that would line up in the backfield, a receiver, defense, and all these things. And Cam was just a dynamic athlete that would get the ball a lot of different ways, but he was never stressed to the point where he had to like become a precise route runner. Micah is much further along in that regard. And so that has helped him quite a bit. And that you kind of expected. But the third thing that he's shown that is a bit of a surprise is he's more athletic than I thought he was going to be. He's quicker coming out of his stance. He's quicker getting out of breaks. He accelerates better than I thought he was going to do. His body control is even better than I thought it was. And that's one of the athletic things I liked most about him was how, you know, he could really turn and attack the football and the balance he shows and the hip flexibility shows when fighting for the football has really impressed me. And that's probably been the biggest surprise for me is not that he is athletic, but to the degree to which he's done it. The nuance as a route runner, I expected that. Being strong as a rookie, anyone that's ever seen Micah Gilbert in person, which I have been at games, like that's a strong kid. And then you see the film, you're like, that kid's not going to get pushed around as a freshman. It's the speed with which he plays the game that has really surprised me. And his ability to absorb the playbook this quickly has been something that surprises me. Not surprising that I didn't think he was capable of it, but I know this offense.
It is not an easy offense to learn in seven practices for anyone, a fifth-year senior, much less a freshman. And so Micah Gilbert's ability to process that and then go play with confidence, because there's a difference between learning the playbook to where I could go draw the plays up on a board and then learning the offense where I can listen to the coach say it, and within 2 seconds I'm lined up knowing exactly what I need to do. I know my route. I know my route if against off man. I know my route against press man. I know my route if he's playing me inside. I know my route if he's playing me outside. I know my route if he squats on me post-snap. I know my route if he bails post-snap. I know my route if he jumps from outside to in post-snap. I know my route if he widens outside. You guys see what I'm saying? These are all the things that kids have to process in seconds. And so that's why reps are so important. And Micah just, he looks so comfortable doing all these things. And that's been the interesting thing is, I'll be straight with you. Just from what we've seen in practices, again, we haven't seen Chris Mitchell do a lot. They haven't used him to do a lot. We haven't seen some of these other guys do a lot. But what we have seen, Jaden Greathouse and Micah Gilbert have been the two most impressive looking receivers for me. And Jaden is just kind of out in front of everybody right now. He's got that total package. But Micah reminds me a lot of Jaden last year, but he's bigger. And he is better built for the boundary. Where Jaden could play boundary, but ideally you want him as a field guy. Micah looks to be at least an inch taller, at least 10 to 15 pounds thicker than what Jaden was a year ago. And so I've been really impressed by those guys. And it's not that, you know, oh man, Chris Mitchell's not as good as I hoped he would be. And Deion Colsey just, you know, the light hasn't gone on for Deion. And, you know, there's no Jordan Faze on. And Cam Williams isn't as good as I hoped he would be. But this Jaden Harrison guy can't do it. It's not because of anything negative with anybody else. I have not seen a receiver yet where I'm like, that guy's having a rough spring. The only guy that I can say that about is Jaden Thomas, because he just hasn't been – I don't want to say he hasn't been healthy, because I don't know that it's an injury. We haven't spoken to Marcus Freeman since he started being banged up. And so – but he's just not getting a lot of reps. But of the guy – I'm very happy with what I've seen from the receiving corps. And I'll talk more about it in the third section, but I'm very happy with it. But – it's just that these two guys have just been that good, and we saw that again today. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the offensive line. I'm going to jump to some conclusions here just so you all understand that there's a difference between what I know and what I'm thinking. And so I'm going to tell you what I saw today and then give you my 100% opinion on what it could mean. And I'm saying that because I don't want anyone to be confused to think that I'm sharing intel or giving information or whatever the case may be. But we saw today, so I first noticed it during individual drills. So I've got the quarterbacks in front of me with the receivers, and then down on the opposite side of the field is the offensive line. So I'm kind of in the corner of the end zone, so I can watch the receivers and quarterbacks and running backs here, but I also have the offensive line in view on the opposite side. And the other reason I focus on the offense only is because when they're inside, the offense and defense are on the same field, so I can kind of watch a little bit of everything. But today, since we're outside, the defense is on one field, the offense is on another field, and it's very hard for one person to see all of it. So I focus on the offense today. So we saw what we saw about for the offensive line was they were down there working on drills. And there's a few things that I like that I saw today. Number one, all the drills they were doing early were to focus on drive blocking and driving their feet through contact. You could see it was being emphasized quite a bit today. And that's important, because what was one of my biggest issues last year with the Notre Dame offensive line? It was they were hitting, and they even when they would come off of force, they would hit and then they would stop their feet and just take the contact. They weren't catching like we've seen from past offensive lines. And so it wasn't, you know, oh, this is Jeff Quinn all over again. It wasn't that so much. It was that they weren't moving their feet the way they needed to. And even with that initial footwork, and then especially at the point of contact, there was that smack point, and then the defensive line would kind of move their feet and the offensive line would not move theirs. And there was just a lot of stalemating. I don't like stalemating on the offensive line in most instances. There are some plays where if I'm running inside zone, I'm kind of turning and base blocking that wide rusher. I don't care about getting a dominant block on him, because we're going inside of him to backside. It doesn't really matter. But most runs, I don't want stalemates. I want movement.
I want to get vertical or lateral movement depending on the play that we're running. And so what we saw today was Coach Rudolph working a lot on the timing of double teams to get vertical movement. And they were doing it two ways. One was working with, you know, two offensive linemen working against another offensive lineman. This is something that Coach Eastand did a lot of as well. And so you'd see like front guy and then the linebacker would both be offensive linemen. So they're just, you know, working on if he goes here, you get off this way. So working on it there. But then they were also doing a lot of stuff on one-man sleds. They were having one guy come off and just work on drive blocks. So really, you know, get your base low, explode your hips through contact, get that vertical lift. You see some guys, like, they get leaning out and they, like, put the sled out and they lunge down. That's not good. You want to get up underneath that sucker, lift that thing up, and drive with your hips and your lower body, drive that sled back. And so they were working on that today on a one-man sled, which I was very happy to see. You always want to see that from offensive linemen. But here's the thing that was interesting. They had the centers working over here. They had the tackles working somewhere. And then they had the guards were both working on the sleds. So the guards were together, but you had the left guards on the one side and the right guards on the other side. Well, here's what we saw today that I thought was interesting. We saw Rocco Spindler at left guard, which is where Pat Coogan plays. So I thought that was interesting. And then we also then saw that when they went to the team period, they followed up with the team period, Rocco Spindler was at left guard. Well, from what we have seen up to this point in time, Rocco's been a right guard, where him and Billy Shrouth have battled. So now that Rocco's a left guard, what that tells me is that Billy Shrouth has basically this is where it's my opinion. So what I know is everything I just told you is what I know. My opinion is that leads me to believe that one of two things is true. One is they're just working Rocco both sides, and it could very well be that. It could very well be Rocco's playing both left and right, which would be smart in my opinion. But what it also tells me is even if that is true, it tells me they feel like Billy Shrouth has kind of locked down that right guard spot. And that's kind of that, okay, that's his spot. And then at left guard, now you've got Rocco over there, which means either one of two things is true from that. Either Rocco is now just working on becoming the swing guy, or now he's going to be at left guard where he's going to battle Pat Coogan. That's what I hope is going on. We'll see if that's actually what's going on. And I have to say, I kind of started thinking about the potential of a big physical kid like Rocco and a big monster like Charles Jagasaw playing beside each other on the left side. Run game wise, that kind of has me a little bit fired up. My only criticism would be, now, unless Billy Shrouth just can't play left-handed, which could be true because Billy started off at left guard last year and they moved him right guard, I still would have liked seeing your more athletic duo on the left side where your pass blocking is going to be key. But Pat Coogan wasn't a great pass blocker last year either. So I'm very curious to see if this continues in future practices or not. So again, pure speculation on my part. I'm being very open and honest about it. And part of it is because that's what I want to see. And I'm very curious to see if we see more of that in future practices. So, you know, we get one, I think one more this Saturday. I think that's the last practice we get. I believe I have to look at the schedule, but I think this Saturday is the last practice we're going to get. I'm very curious to see if we see Rocco back at right guard or if he stays at left guard for this period of time. So very, very, very interesting. The other interesting thing is we saw Sam Pendleton is the number two center. This is now the second or third practice in a row that I'd have to go check my notes that we've seen Sam Pendleton at center as the number two center. Now, I thought that was really fascinating. Once again, that tells me that they're feeling like they are starting to get some ideas on who their guards are going to be, and they're also making sure that they've got their center depth chart figured out. And Sam Pendleton's a guy that I would assume that this is a bit of a cross-training situation. That doesn't mean that Sam can't lock down that number two center spot, but if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were, I would say that Sam is getting this work because they want him to learn center. But if there was a need at guard, he'd still be a guy that they would consider putting out there at guard. And so he's kind of getting that number two center job. It would seem to me that he's kind of solidifying himself there. And I don't know what that means about Joe Wadding. Maybe he just isn't ready yet, or maybe they felt like this is just more of what they need from Sam Pendleton, that they want to be able to cross train him a little bit. And we expect Sam to be a further ahead than Joe, because Joe has a lot more need for you know, size and strength and those type of things to grow and get to the point where it needs to be for that as well. So those are things that we saw from the offensive line today. That's what we saw from the receivers today. That's what I saw from Notre Dame during their practice today. So went a little bit longer on that than I thought I would, but I got fired up talking about the quarterbacks. And you guys know how I get when I start talking about quarterbacks and receivers. I get a little bit crazy with it. So I enjoyed seeing that. I'm going to get into parts 2 and 3 next. For those who joined late, part 2 is going to be about the Notre Dame depth being tested this spring. And what does that mean for Notre Dame? What are the positives about it? What are the things to be concerned about? And then part 3 is we're starting to see some playmakers emerge for Notre Dame. Who are those players? What does it mean? And then who also are we still waiting on to see step up as playmakers this year? So I'm very much looking forward to seeing these guys continue to emerge on the Saturday practice blue gold game. And then of course going into fall, but you never want to leave spring where you're like, I don't really know who wants to be a playmaker or not. And I'm going to also talk about what this means in regard to what the offense could look like next year, based on a comment that Mike Denbrock made at the post-practice interview on Saturday, which I thought was really cool. It was in response to a question I asked him about how the offseason, how he builds his team. So we'll get into that as well. And so I was very, very pleased with his answer on that. So before we get into that, folks, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast. If you have not done so, give us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. And of course, make sure that you are on the message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com. It's a great way to support Irish Breakdown. If you are someone who just enjoys the free content that we give on this show and on the podcast, and you actually want to support us in a way that helps us grow our business, which we would greatly appreciate, then that's a way to do it. You don't have to be a message board person to do that. You can just, you know, be a member and knowing that supports us. You can also join one of the booster clubs, either the Shamrock Club, the Blue Club, or the Gold Club, which will then get you some free merch if you sign up for that. So if you go to boards.irishbreakdown.com, go to the join section, you'll see those sections that can explain it. So there's lots of great info on there, but if you're not someone who spends time on the board, you still want to support us, this is a great way to do that. We've had some people do that as well. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. So I'll be back here in a minute with part 2 of today's show on the Irish Breakdown Podcast. We'll be right back.